Chapter 8. Lucille's heart pounded wildly, as if it were trying to burst out of her chest. All she could think about was that she hadn't meant to do it, hadn't meant to kill Devers. Twice before, men had died by her hand, but those had been deliberate choices, made to save the life of the man she loved. This had been sheer happenstance. Swallowing hard, she dropped to a knee beside Devers and put her hand to his throat to check for a pulse. Maybe he wasn't dead after all. She had to force herself not to recoil as his bristly beard brushed her hand. Touching his flesh made her shudder. His throat was still warm, but there was no pulse to be found. That inadvertent thrust of the bowie knife must have found his heart. Straightening, Lucille turned back to Carnivan. What had happened with Devers was over and done with. Carnivan was still alive, however, and in need of medical attention. She leaned over, touched his shoulder, and said, "I'll get help."
Devers?
"Don't worry about him. He can't hurt you again." She didn't know if he understood what she meant by that. It didn't matter. She had to get Alan and Fred Carter. They could carry Carnivan inside.
"Stokes? Hardy?"
She had forgotten about them, Lucille realized. They were Carnivan's partners, too. And if Devers had double-crossed him and tried to kill him, Stokes and Hardy might represent just as much of a threat. What if they were following Devers and came along while she was inside? They would need only a second to finish off Carnivan. She couldn't leave him here. She would have to shout through the open window to Mildred and get her to bring help. Before she could do so, however, Carnivan rolled onto his side with a groan of effort. "What are you doing?" she asked him. But he ignored her as he continued turning until he had his hands and knees under him.
"Help me," he said.
She wanted to tell him that he should lie still, that he was going to injure himself even more, but she saw that he wasn't going to be talked out of what he was doing. Hurriedly, she bent over and grasped his left arm to steady him as he pushed upright. He got to his feet, staggering heavily, and she was sure he would have fallen if she had not been there to help him. As it was, she needed all her strength to keep him on his feet.
"In the building," he muttered.
She nodded. They started toward the inn, staggering so much that they must have resembled a pair of drunken sots. When they reached the back door, Carnivan had trouble negotiating the steps that led up to it. Lucille had to support most of his weight as they struggled up the steps. She gasped from the strain, but somehow managed to keep him upright and get him into the kitchen. He half sat, half fell into a chair. Lucille whirled back to the door and closed it, shooting home the bolt that normally was left unfastened. No one in these parts locked their doors at night, but evil was abroad on this night, and Lucille wanted to shut it out if she could. She turned back toward the table where Carnivan was sitting. Although it was almost pitch black in the room, she knew its layout so well she had no trouble getting around in it and finding a lamp. Matches were in the cabinet. She located them, struck one of the lucifers, and held the sulphurous flame to the lamp's wick. When it caught, she lowered the glass chimney and turned toward Carnivan. Another gasp escaped from her lips as she saw how pale and haggard his face was, how large the bloodstain on his shirt.
"Stokes," he whispered. "Hardy."
"They can't get in. I've locked the door."
"Have you a pistol?"
Lucille shook her head.
"No, are they trying to kill you too?"
A hollow chuckle came from Carnivan's lips, which were thinned by pain.
"Three wise men," he said. "Devers, Stokes, and Hardy. Bearing not gifts but treachery. But then I'm hardly the Christ child, eh? More like the spawn of Satan."
He was out of his head from the pain and loss of blood, Lucille thought. She needed to see just how bad his wound really was. Trying not to think about Devers lying dead out there in the yard, she said,
"Let me take your shirt off so I can help you."
He wasn't going to be able to make it easier for her. He slumped forward, his head rapping the table as he collapsed on top of it. She caught hold of him to keep him from slipping out of the chair and falling to the floor. When he seemed to be stabilized, she got a kitchen knife from one of the drawers and used it to slit the back of his shirt. Then she was able to peel the bloody garment off of him. She had to get a cloth and clean off some of the blood before she could see the wound. There was a long, deep cut about midway up his right side, starting around on his back. From the looks of it, someone had attempted to plunge a knife into his back, but something had warned him, and he had tried to turn around to confront his attacker. He hadn't been able to avoid the thrust entirely, though. The wound had bled freely, but the edges of it were clean, and it didn't seem deep enough for the steel to have reached any vital organs. If the injury was cleaned and bound up tightly, and if Carnivan would take it easy for a few weeks, Lucille had little doubt that he would recover. The problem was that Stokes and Hardy were still out there somewhere, eager to kill him. Suddenly she thought about the front door of the inn. Like most of the other doors in town, it was unlocked. If Stokes and Hardy found the rear entrance barred to them, they could easily go around and come in the front. They might be slipping through the lobby even now. That thought sent her to the door between the kitchen and the hallway that led to the front of the building. Everything was quiet and dark and still along that short corridor. Nolan slept in a room just off the lobby. Dewhurst's room was under the stairs. Only a few feet separated her from them, a distance that would take only seconds to cross. Still, Lucille couldn't bring herself to walk into that darkness. She heard a step behind her. Her breath froze in her throat in horror. She didn't want to turn to look, but she had to. She saw the shadowy figure moving toward the table where Carnivan slumped unconscious, and without thinking about what she was doing, she threw herself at the man, hands clenched into fists that struck out in short, efficient punches.
"Ow!"
Fred Carter said as he backed up hurriedly, lifting a hand to his nose. One of Lucille's blows had struck it solidly, jolting Fred's head back. He started to cry.
"Miss Lucille, what are you doing? Why are you hitting me?"
She stopped short in her rush. "Fred?"
"I'm sorry, Miss Lucille,"
the young man said as he rubbed his sore nose.
"I'm really, really sorry."
"Oh, Fred, no, it's my fault. I'm sorry I hit you." Fred blinked a few times, holding back tears.
"You mean I didn't do anything wrong?"
"Of course not."
"I thought since you were hitting me, I must have done something wrong."
Lucille's heart went out to this young man, who, despite being in his mid-20s, had the mind of a child. An intelligent, compassionate child, to be sure, but a child nonetheless. She wanted to put her arms around him and comfort him, but there was no time for that. Not with a wounded, unconscious man on her hands. Fred had seen Carnivan and knew something was wrong, too. He pointed a shaking finger at the Englishman.
"Finn's all bloody. What's wrong with him? Is he hurt?"
Lucille nodded. "Yes, he is. He's been cut. Can you run upstairs and get your father and Aunt Mildred and tell them to come here as quick as they can?"
"Can I have a drink of water first? I came down for a drink of water."
"I'm sorry, Fred. You can have your drink of water later. Right now, go get your father and Aunt Mildred." His head bobbed up and down.
"All right. I'm sorry Mr. Finn's hurt."
Fred had been introduced to Carnivan on a couple of occasions when the Englishman was visiting the inn. As always, Fred was ready to be friends with anyone as long as he wasn't mistreated. And he and Carnivan had gotten along well. Now, to help his friend, Fred turned and hurried up the rear stairs by which he had entered the kitchen. Lucille went back to Carnivan's side and rested a hand lightly on his shoulder. He stirred a little. She pressed down harder, saying quietly, "It's all right now, just rest, don't move. It's all right." She wished she could believe that, but the dead man lying out there in the rear yard said different. A few minutes later, Mildred Thompson came down the rear stairs, hastily tying the belt of her robe around her waist. She was a small woman with streaks of gray in her still mostly dark hair. Usually that hair was braided and put up in coils around her head. But since she had gone to bed, it was loose and fell far down her back, almost to her waist.
"My lands, child, what's all this?"
she asked, as she stared at Carnivan's bloody shape in the chair.
"Fred said Mr. Finn had been hurt, and I can see that's true."
"He's been attacked. Someone tried to stab him in the back and wound up cutting him."
Mildred studied the wound and nodded.
"And that's what it looks like, all right. Who could have done such an awful thing?"
One of his partners. The one called Devers.
You sure of that?
Lucille thought about the corpse lying in the yard.